You're listening to audio from Cornerstone Covenant Church in Big Spring, Texas. Thank you so much for joining us online. To find more resources or to donate to this amazing ministry, please visit us at cccbigspring.org or text your amount to 84321. Hey, we're so glad that you're here. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God.
Good morning, everybody. God is good and all the time. Amen. I'm going to ask that you would bring your attention to the book of Genesis, the fourth chapter. Today we start 2019 with a brand new series entitled The Blessed System. I want us to stand to our feet, if you would. If it is our custom to stand for the opening reading of God's word. If you're holding a baby or for some other reason you cannot stand, please remain seated and take your liberty to do so. Somebody say, the blessed system. How many of you really would like to be blessed by the Lord? Just really, you're just in a place, you're saying, I need God. I mean, I believe there's some people in here, you got some things that, you know, you've done some things on your own, but if really the next thing you have in this chapter of your life, you're saying, I need God to bless it. Well, this is the thing that I want you to lay down as a foundation. Listen, the blessed system starts with this premise, system. Somebody say system. A system so we're all on the same sheet of music. It is a set of connected principles forming a whole, listen to this, producing a certain result. Okay? It is a set of connected principles forming a whole to produce a certain result. I'm going to say it one more time. Matter of fact, we could say it this way. It is a set of biblical principles that are connected, forming a whole to produce a certain result. A set of principles, connected principles, forming a whole to produce a certain result. So what we're going to do on week one of this series, because I'm going to be in this series on two, because I got so much to cover, I'm going to be in it on Sundays and Wednesdays. Because I won't be able to cover it all. So I'm going to do it on Sundays and Wednesdays. I want you to be a part of this series. And this is week one. A connected set of principles. Forming a whole. Producing a certain result. Genesis, the fourth chapter. Verse 1. This is where we will pull our topic. My topic today is the two ways of giving. The two ways of giving. Somebody say the two ways of giving. Look at your neighbor and say, I thought it was more than two ways. No, there's two ways of giving. And I only have two points to share with you today. Genesis, the fourth chapter. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Your translation may be different from mine, but I believe you'll be able to follow along. If you've arrived to that portion of scripture, I want you to signify with a good hearty amen. You'll find these words recorded, Genesis, the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 7. It says, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. And now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Also, listen to this, Abel also brought of the firstborn of the flock in their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but, somebody say but. But he did not respect Cain and his offering, and Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. And so the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. And its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. I want to speak to you from a very simple message. You're going to hear this sort of repeated throughout this series, particularly on Sunday. But today's message is entitled, Give It. Just give it. Give it. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we humble ourselves in your presence, thanking you for the opportunity to share the word of God today. We intercede on behalf of every attendee that is gathered here under the sound of my voice and those that had a desire to be here but for some other reason couldn't. And we pray that you would bless us with your presence and manifest your word in our heart. Release your word into this place and not let it return unto you void, but let it go out and accomplish what it's sent out to do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Let all God's people say amen. Amen. Just touch three people as you're being seated and say, give it. Just give it. Give it. Yeah, give it. Now, I told you that, thank you, Pastor Corey. I told you that our topic centers around two ways of giving. Somebody say two ways of giving. Two ways of giving. And when I talked to you this morning about two ways of giving, I want you to really think about really the ways in which we give. And when I say the word way, I'm talking about really mainly the manner, the method, the means by which we give. I want to bring your attention to Genesis, the fourth chapter, and let's start there in verse number one. The Bible says, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. What I want you to notice is also verse 2. As we get ready to read verse 2, I want you to notice the distinction between the two roles of the two main characters in this particular seven verses. And that, of course, is Abel and Cain. I want you to notice there are two distinct roles. The Bible says, verse 2, then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Listen to this. Now, Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. I want you to notice something, that they both were farmers. Both of them were farmers, but had two distinct roles. First, you have Abel, who had a very distinct role. The Bible says, notice in the text, that the Bible says that he was a keeper of the sheep. In other words, he was one who tended to livestock. And then he has a brother, by the name of Cain. The Bible says, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Cain tended to planting and harvesting. So they are two brothers with two very distinct roles in the community. Notice the two ways of giving. And here it is. We're going to start here in verse 3. I told you I only have 2 points. But these are 2 points that are life-changing. Verse 3 says this, and in the process of time, it came to pass. In the process of time, don't miss that because that's important. In the process of time, say that with me, in the process of time. The reason the Bible shares that with us, it's important that you understand that when you take that verse 3 and you consider in the process of time, and you take that and read it together with all those seven verses, it's literally saying this. When he says, in the process of time, he's literally saying, Brother Green, that after some time of productivity, in other words, after some time to be productive, what comes next? He says, it came to pass. Okay, so stop right there. In the process, notice that, I'm going to start right there. He says, and in the process of time, after some time of being productive, it came to pass. What came to pass? Listen to this. An opportunity to honor God with an offering. That came after the process. After the process of time, you had an opportunity to be productive. Matter of fact, in this case, God ensures your productivity. God ensures that you're prosperous or blessed. And after that time, it came to pass. What came to pass? The opportunity to present God with an offering of honor based on what? How God has blessed and prospered you. Okay? So it's not just a gift that reflects substance. It's a gift that reflects your heart. That's going to be key as we go through this. Now, with that being said, notice this. The Bible goes on to say that after it came to pass, that Cain brought an offering. Somebody say an offering. Of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Now, let me stop right here and tell you, because a lot of times we take this particular passage and we assume that the reason that God rejected his offering because his offering came from the ground. But understand that even though in Genesis in 3, after the fall, that the ground was cursed, we do know that the ground was redeemed. We know that it was given grace. Why? Because it began to yield its fruit again. And God used the vegetation to feed not only Adam and Eve, but he used it to feed the animals. I can further tell you that if you go back and study Leviticus, the second chapter, you also discover that not only did God bless the ground, but God allowed them to bring grain offerings as an offering unto the Lord. He wouldn't have accepted that if it was something that he had rejected. So it wasn't that particular premise. The reason I wanted to share that with you, because some people are under the understanding that the reason he was rejected is because of what he brought as it relates to the vegetation or because of the ground. That's not the case at all. Now, with that being said, let's continue on here. The Bible says that he brought an offering. Somebody say an offering. Now, we're going to cover this later on in the series, but offerings can be divided into three or four different categories. There are some people that put offerings in the form of alms, first fruit, seed offering, and then tithe. Others put it in the form of tithing, offering, and then extravagant tithing. And then others, I heard one pastor say he puts it in the form of tithing, offering, and painful offerings. Seems like we got a few here this morning. Okay. So, but regardless of how you classify it, I want you to understand that giving is important to God. And before I go any further, let's stop right now and answer that question, because the question should be asked, why is an offering so important to God? God has established a principle on by which he wants this to be done. And so with that being said, I want you to understand that offering is important to God. And the reason is because the act of bringing an offering, particularly for sin, was a foreshadowing of the coming Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who would eventually offer himself for the sins of the world. So even though we bring offering unto the Lord, and we can't offer any offering that we have that would be payment for what God has done, particularly through what Jesus Christ did on the cross, it is a reflection or foreshadowing or a what we call types and shadows of that particular ultimate offering. So you need to understand that when we offer our offering unto the Lord, it is through in kingdom vision, kingdom eyes, it is connected to the ultimate offering of Jesus Christ being on the cross. So you may not take your offering seriously, but I want to show you in the Word of God, God takes it very seriously. And so hopefully at the beginning of this series, we re-engage and reset our thinking as it relates to our approach, as it relates to how we bring our offering to the Lord. Notice in verse 3, the Bible says, now in the process of time, it came to pass that, listen to this, Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground. So that means to say, that literally says, after some time of planting and harvesting, guess what? God blessed him. And after some time of him being productive, because God blessed him, it came time for him to bring his offering to the Lord. That goes back to what I told you earlier. After the process of time, it came to pass, and then the opportunity presented itself. So what happened is that when he brought his offering to the Lord, it was an indication, listen to this, of him being productive, God blessing him, and now him bringing his offering to the Lord to honor the Lord based on what God has done for him. Verse 4 says this, Abel also brought the firstborn of his flock and of the fat. So again, after some time of breeding livestock, God blessed him. After some time of him being productive, of course, God blessed him. It came time for Abel to do what? Bring and honor God with his offering as well. But notice in the text in the latter part of verse 4, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. The Lord respected Abel and his offering. Respected Abel and his offering. I want you to notice how you cannot separate yourself from your offering. And you cannot separate your offering from yourself. They are together in God's view. And that's what we need to take in consideration. Sometimes we are flippantly giving. That's what got Cain, I'm going to tell you ahead of time, getting ahead of myself, gets Cain in a jam. But you cannot separate yourself from what you submit to God in offering. And it's not just the offering of our tithes and or money, but the offering of our praise. You cannot separate that from yourself. With that being said, the Bible says the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Here's my first point. Here it is. Point number one, and I only have two. There is, listen to this, number one, the acceptable way of giving. That's point number one. There is an acceptable way of giving. There's an acceptable way. Let's take a look at the acceptable way. Look at verse number four. The Bible says, Abel also brought of, listen to this, the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. There's three observations that I want you to see in verse 4 that is important as if you really take giving God his seriously. If you're seriously saying, I want to be acceptable, I want God to accept what I'm offering him. There's three things that we can point out in this text that I believe that will bless every single person in here. And hopefully you will pass it on to your children and their children's children. Let's look at number one. The Bible says, and he brought of the firstborn. Here it is. Abel, listen to this, prioritized his gift. He prioritized. Notice he brought the firstborn. So if I was, and this is a reflection of tithing, and we'll cover this throughout the series, but if God gives you $10, he says, what I want you to do is I want you to set $1 aside, and I want you, after I've given you $10, I want you to set that dollar aside, and I want you to take it to the storehouse. I want you to take it to the storehouse. The storehouse, according to Ephesians, is the church. That's not a system that man put up. That's a system that God set up. He set that system up to test our hearts. Preach, Pastor Willard. Amen. Because where your treasures is, your hearts are there also. Okay. So he says, listen to what he says. And actually, we could say that in reverse. Where your heart is, your treasure is there also. Amen. So with that being said, he prioritized his gift. God blessed him with livestock. After God produced during this breeding period, the first thing that Abel does, he brings God his firstborn. He prioritized his gift. So if God gave you 10 $1 bills, he says, I want you to set one aside for me. Why? Because when you look at this system and the tithing system, the purpose of paying tithe is not so you can have a saving account in heaven. The purpose of the tithe is when you pay the first 10%, what God does, he redeems the 90. Okay, we're going to cover that in this series. But we need to know that. Because some of you may be giving and you're saying, why is it not working? It didn't work for Cain either. But it worked for Abel. So there's two types of people. People that are bringing acceptable offerings and people that are bringing unacceptable. I just gave you my second point. I'm ahead of myself, but hey, it's just 2 points. You'll be all right. So he brings to the Lord, listen to this, he brings to the Lord his firstborn. So he prioritized his giving. The second thing is, the Bible says he brought of his flock. Let me tell you point number two. Abel gave of his own treasure. When I was a kid, we'd be driving down the road on our way to a little church, and my mother would stop at the corner store. But I'm going to tell on myself. We grew up in a church, and they took, I don't know how many offerings. I mean, 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe 4 offerings in one sitting. And I think they thought it by more offerings, they would get more money. But people like my mother, they stop at the grocery store or the little corner store. Back then, it was town and country. It's like a 7-Eleven. She stopped at the little town and country, go down there, and if she was giving $25 or if she was giving $100, she'd just break it. And she would just divide it into all those offerings. Because that's all she had. Come on, talk to me, somebody. Y'all see, we take up. And we don't even take up on Wednesday. So see, y'all are free to come on Wednesday night. Because some of y'all worry, like, where are we going with this? You get a freebie on Wednesday. Say amen. Praise the Lord. So she would stop at the corner store and get it. But then she would give us, you know, a dollar or something and stick it in our shirt. And say, okay, when the offering tray come back, you give. She was teaching us the power of giving, but listen to this. She was not teaching us the power of sacrifice. Because I went from my mama's hand to my pocket straight to the plate. But when I started working, I'm going to talk to some real people over here. I'm telling you, when I started working, and it seemed like the more money I got, my tithe got bigger, I thought, good Lord of mercy. Anybody ever been there? Can I get some real witnesses up in here? I mean, when you was making, you're like, okay, but when you really started making some money, you're like, Lord have mercy. Okay, so I want you to see something. He presented his firstborn, the firstborn of that flock, so he prioritized. He presented, the Bible says, not only his firstborn, but out of his flock. That means he gave of his own personal treasure. But then the third thing is, the Bible says he gave of the fat. Of their fat. In other words, you know what he did? Abel gave his best. Can I ask you this? Are you giving God your best? Or do you tip God? Sometimes we give waitressing and waiters more than we... Okay, let me move on. You give more for a steak dinner than what you would based on what God has given you. And you know why? Because it's a heart thing, not a money thing. So with that being said, I want you to see, he prioritized his giving, he gave of his treasure, and then he gave his best. Now, I want you to go with me real quick to Hebrews 11 and 4. Hebrews 11 and 4. And let me show you a New Testament scripture that proves what I just told you. Hebrews 11 and 4 says this. Listen to this. Bring your attention to the big screen here. It says, by faith, somebody say by faith. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Notice that. I'm going to cover that here again in a moment. But a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. He offered by faith. Somebody say by faith. So now we're starting to see a clearer picture that he brought it by faith. The word faith is pistis in the Greek. It means to have confidence in. It means to believe in. It means to rely on. It means to trust. So that means when Abel brought his offering to the Lord, he brought it in confidence. He brought it believing. He brought it trusting. He brought it relying on God. It says he offered it by faith. Somebody say by faith. When he offered it by faith, the scripture says he offered an offering that was more excellent than his brother Cain. More excellent sacrifice. This is what you need to understand when it comes to an acceptable offering. Notice in the text, a more excellent sacrifice, a more excellent sacrifice, a more excellent sacrifice. Say that with me. A more excellent sacrifice. Here it is. I told you point number one is what? So what is an acceptable way of giving? An acceptable way of giving is excellence plus sacrifice equals an acceptable gift. Excellence plus sacrifice equals an acceptable way of giving. Excellence plus sacrifice equals an acceptable offering. Okay, with that being said, notice this. Let's continue on in that same text. The Bible says, then Cain, through which he obtained a witness, that he was righteous. Listen to this. Don't miss this. God testifying of his gift. It's one thing for people to say that was an awesome offering, but the Bible says God testifying of his gift, through it, he being dead still speaks. So two things happen there. God not only testifies of this guy's gift, Abel's gift, but the Bible says his gift impact outlived him. After he was dead and gone, his gift left a legacy. If you study Acts, the 10th chapter, when you look at Cornelius' life, so I want you to understand that God giving, when it comes to offering, is important to God. Notice the result. Notice the result of this. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Let's look at verse 5. Verse 5 says this, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. Again, I told you earlier, you can't separate your offering from yourself, nor yourself from your offering. So he says, and he did not respect Cain and his offering. So point number two, you already know what it is. Point number two is the unacceptable way of giving. So if there's an acceptable way of giving, let's take in consideration an unacceptable way of giving. Look here. When you look at what we just read, most theologians will suggest to you that a common view sees that Abel brought the best of what he had while Cain brought a poor quality offering. Or if it wasn't a poor quality, at least it was, as it relates to quality, it did not reflect what God had given him already. Hebrews 11 and 4 says this. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice. Listen to this. Than Cain. Now, I think what that should cause us to do then, if Abel offered up a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, then we need to understand a little bit about excellent sacrifice. The word excellent there is the Greek word plylon. Plylon is a word that simply means superior in quality and superiority. In other words, when you put them side by side, there was no doubt that based on what God had given Cain And based on what Abel had brought to the Lord, that God says, I'm not going to accept this. And I think the problem is sometimes we think God should just be satisfied with whatever we give him. I'll let that sink in for a moment. Sometimes our attitude is, well, they take it or leave it. And sometimes we don't realize that our attitude with God, it can be that same way. God, you should be satisfied with, I'm doing the best I can. And God says, no, remember, I'm omniscient. I'm omnipotent. I'm omnipresent. I know what you have. I'm with you everywhere. I know what you have. You can do better than what you're doing. Bump your neighbor and say, you can do better than what you're doing. Now, with that being said, listen to this. So some people believe that it was simply a quality problem. Okay? Abel offered a more excellent, greater in quantity or quality, superiority. But that word also means in quantity. So that made me go back and think. Did Cain just try to bring some scraps and thought God would be okay with it? Because that word excellent is pylon in the Greek, and it means superior in quantity, quality, and superiority. His offering was greater. With that being said, let's continue on. Verse 5, the second part is, if it's not in quantity, perhaps some testify that it was an attitude problem. An additional view interprets the rejection of Cain's offering as a problem with Cain's attitude. Bump your neighbor and say, do you have an attitude? Look at the other neighbor and say, why you frown every time offering shows up? Yeah. Listen, that is to say Cain had a bad attitude problem. How do we know that? Listen to this. Consider verse 5. The Bible says, but he did not respect Cain in his offering. Look what it goes on to say. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. I believe that his attitude problem was wrapped around two things, anger and jealousy. You say, Pastor Willie, where do you get that from? Well, first of all, the scriptures testifies that he was very angry. Somebody say angry. Have you ever just noticed how people can sometimes get angry then oftentimes? Okay, I'm going to move on. Tough subject right now. Well, by the end of it, you'll be okay. Amen. I know it's week one. You're a little sensitive right now. We're going to be all right. Bump your neighbor and say, breathe. We're going to be okay. Okay, so with that being said, you take in consideration, the scripture says that he was not just angry, but he was very angry. So first of all, well, let me back up and say, remember, anger is not a primary emotion. It's secondary. In other words, anger is never the root. It's always the fruit. So anger is connected to something else below the surface. So when you take this word anger and you study it, the Hebrew word is hara. Hara means, listen to this, it means to be glowing. It means to burn up. It means to be kindled. It means to not only become angry. Listen to this. It is attached to the word and it means jealousy. So what it suggests is that below the surface, in the life of Cain, he had an anger issue. And at a minimum, his anger was connected to jealousy. With that being said, I believe that it wasn't just an attitude problem. I think he had a heart problem. Go with me real quick. And if you're taking notes, just write this down. John, 1 John 3 and 12. 1 John 3 and 12. As you're turning to 1 John 3 and 12, did you know that the word anger there, hurrah, also means to heat oneself up in vexation? In other words, you're annoyed, you're frustrated, or you're worried. I believe that not only did he have a quantity problem, an attitude problem, but which is attached to anger and jealousy, I believe he had a heart problem. 1 John 3 and 12 says this, not as Cain, who was of the wicked one, Somebody say the wicked one. Now, when we look at the word wicked, we get it from the word wicca, right? You ever seen a wicker basket, wicker chair? It literally means to twist. So when you look at the word wicked, it means to be twisted. That's what the enemy did in Genesis. When he came to talk to Eve about what God said, what he did is he took the word and twisted it, right? When he dealt with Jesus, after his temptation in Matthew, the fourth chapter, he tried to twist it. The enemy always wants to take the word of God and to twist it. So that's what you think about when you think about the wicked one. Notice Cain is associated with the wicked one. Not just being a wicked one, but he's associated with the wicked one. Let me help you. Matthew, the sixth chapter, talks about the prayer, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, come on. Hallowed be thy name. Come on. Deliver us from what?
Evil.
Deliver us from what?
Evil.
See, in our King James, that translates deliver us from evil. But in the original writing, it doesn't say deliver us from evil. It says literally deliver us from the evil one. How many of you know that takes on a different passage now, or takes on a different perception of the passage now? It doesn't, in the original writing, it doesn't say deliver us from evil. It says deliver us from the evil one. Why do I bring that up and cite that as an issue? Because now we see here, it says not as Cain, who was of the wicked one. So now his life is directly associated with Satan. Listen to this. And he murdered his brother. Now, I don't want to go any further because I want to show you something. Remember I told you that I believe he has a heart problem? Well, Cain, now he begins to offer this offering to God, but his offering has no respect. God does not respect Cain nor his offering. Why? Because he presented himself in a dishonorable way, and he presented a dishonorable offering. And I'm going to show that to you before we get out of here. He presented a dishonorable way, and he presented a dishonorable offering. Notice God's attempt to bring correction and redirection in his life. And this is what God does. Go to verse 6. We have two verses left. Go to verse number 6. I want to show you something. God asked Cain three questions that I want to ask you this morning. He asked Cain three questions. The first question is this. He asked him, he says, why are you angry? Remember, this dialogue in verses 1 through 7 centers around the offering. Can I ask you this? Does something anger you when offering time comes? Even if you don't give, you're watching other people give, but something inside of you get angry? God asked him, he says, why are you angry? The second thing God asked him was this: why has your countenance fallen? Have you ever watched a kid pout? You tell them no, and all of a sudden they huffing and puffing. You know, have you ever done that? You tell them, hey, I'm gonna let you watch it. Once you finish your homework, I'll let you watch 30 more minutes. Mom, my show is gonna be off. She says, sit down, son. Go do your homework. I'll TiVo it for you. But I'm gonna miss the best part. No, I'm gonna record it for you. Mom, okay. Again, that wouldn't happen in my house. I said that at 9 o'clock. I wouldn't have went through all that litany of all that stuff. Okay, let me move on. I know y'all the next generation. Y'all got time out. I got knockout. I'm sorry. I didn't say that. I didn't say that. Edit the tape. We got law enforcement. I'm sorry. That was a joke. That was a joke. Sort of. But my point is, have you ever just noticed how they started pouting as if you'd done something to them? This is what I appreciate about God. God loved him enough to confront him. God loved him enough to confront him. You know why I'm in this series? Because if you've been in CCC any length of time, you know we don't do a whole lot of teaching about giving. And we're wrong to not do that. Matter of fact, I was convicted this last October because I know the power and the blessing of giving, but I don't always do the Bible says we are to teach the whole counsel of God. And sometimes because of climate and environment, sometimes we just put it off. But I was so convicted this past October, and I started studying and started putting it down. And I said, you know what? The next opportunity as we go into the new year, we're going to teach about the power of giving, because there's somebody in here. Listen to me. That single mother in here that feels like you have to have a sugar daddy on the side, that devil is a liar. I know I'm not going to get any applause, but if you apply it in your life, you will reap the benefits, and you don't have to be a slave to nobody or no thing. because your blessing and provision will come from the Lord. Amen. So, that wasn't in my notes, I'm sorry. Back on track now. So, with that being said, he asked him, why are you angry? Why is your countenance fallen? And then he asked him at the top of verse 7, he says this. He says, don't you know if you did well, I would have accepted it? You know what God is saying? God is saying, my love is without partiality. I'm not biased. Cain, I'm not holding nothing up against you. Quit not walking around here like you some type of outsider, someone living on the fringes. He says, if you had done well, I would have accepted it. But you can't just bring me anything and accept me to accept it. So after he dialogues with him, after that third question, this is the main thing, and this is the opportunity I don't want you to miss. Listen to the next part of that. He says, if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. You know what he's saying? If you don't repent from your attitude, you're opening the door for the wicked one to come in your life. Sin is waiting for an opportunity to pounce right in your life. And the only way to close the door is to repent and get it right with me. Get it right with the Lord, and the door will be closed. He says, but if you don't and you turn, sin is waiting. Matter of fact, he says sin is already at the door. It's not on its way. He's saying he has laid a trap for you, and the only way out is to come to me. And rather than him running to God, his heart stayed hard. How do we know that? Go back to 1 John 3 and 12. 1 John 3 and 12 says this. I think we have 1 John 3 and 12. There it is right there. And not as Cain, who was of the wicked one and murdered his brother. You know what happened? When he didn't get it right for the with the Lord, that sin was open. And because he maintained an unrepented heart, not only did it lead to anger, it eventually led to him being wicked. And because he didn't repent, his wickedness led to murdering his brother. And why did he murder him? The text says because his works were evil. You know what he's saying? His deeds were now manifested. God has a way. See, this is one thing I love about God. God will point you and paint you in a corner and say, hey, come on over here. Let's deal with this in the kitchen. Because when you get out there, it's going to be a mess. So come on over here. Have you ever had God do that? Aren't you so glad that God didn't expose all your stuff? Amen. Some of y'all be getting out right about this time. Come on, talk to me. So he called him over and said, let's deal with this issue right here, right now. Repent of it. What does it mean to repent? It means to have a change of mind or heart. It means to have the change of heart, change of mind, and a change of direction. So now, because see, what good does it do to change your mind if you're still going in the wrong direction? And what good does it do to change your direction and your mind is still on the bad stuff? So repenting is an inward work by the power of the Holy Spirit, that when you partner with the Holy Spirit will convict you of your sin, but then it will go in and renew your mind about the very sin. And when the Holy Spirit does that, guess what happens? It renews and replenishes your mind, and now all of a sudden you can have a repented heart. Cain didn't. God will pull you over and say, hey, let's deal with this right here, because the enemy is right outside that door. And if you don't deal with this here, that door is going to be open and it's going to lead. And guess what it did? It led to wickedness, and eventually it led to him murdering his brother. And you know why? The Bible says because he himself became wicked. And because he's wicked, he took it out on his brothers, the Bible says, who deeds were righteous. Have you ever done that? Where you start walking in arrogance, pride, unrepentant sin, and all of a sudden now you're talking about the people that's trying to live right? Because there's this thing that goes on inside of us. rather than praying and celebrating and encouraging them and spearing them on, all of a sudden you inside of you are upset when really you should have your mind renewed. He was trying to give him an opportunity to get it right. This is for somebody in this room. God is trying to give you an opportunity to get it right. Listen, as I close, worship, I'm closing. For the second, third time, I'm closing. I'm going. Listen here. The mistakes we, listen to me. I want y'all really focus in. People outside of the kingdom, outside of church, they'll understand this. The problem is, the problem usually is in church among believers. Believers make the mistake and think that demons can't get a hold of them. Let me show you. When you go back, we're going to cover this later. But when you go back, matter of fact, if you was here this past Sunday on the 30th, we was in encountering Jesus, the message encountering Jesus. In Mark, the 5th chapter, the Bible talks about the man who was demon-possessed. Did you know that the Greek word for demon possession is divided in two divisions or two definitions? The first one is ownership. The other one is means to take and have mastery or control of, and they're two separate definitions. In the one in the book of Mark, when it talks about the man demon-possessed, it is not talking about ownership. It is talking about one who has come in and has taken control and mastery over. Why is that important, Pastor Willard? Listen to me. I'm saved, Pastor Willard. Ain't no demon messing with me. But let me tell you something. Remember, it's not ownership. It's about mastery. I was telling him at the 9 o'clock service. I have an old pickup truck, so this is a bad analogy on that. But Bella has a different vehicle. And y'all got these little key things. I call them doohickeys, but they're called key fobs. These key fob things that you know, you can do everything with them. You can stand outside and crank your vehicle up from indoors. Isn't that a novel idea? Lord have mercy. I wish I had that when I was living in Alaska. That would have came in real, that would have been real handy. But check this out. If Bella takes her key fob and puts it in her purse, and a thief comes along and steals her purse, makes it to her car, will the car respond to the thief having the key fob? Why? Because it's just responding to the key fob. But the thief is not the owner. The car is just responding to who actually exercising control. What Cain did is he opened a door for the enemy to come in and exercise control. And I'm telling you, he'll do the same thing to you even if you're a Christian. You do not get any special grace or special provision if you walk in willful disobedience. If you don't believe me, go out there and rob a bank, Christian, and see if they don't throw your hips behind bars. You don't get any special grace. You understand what I'm saying? So what I want you to understand, listen to me, what I want you to understand is he missed an opportunity to see God turn it around in his life. And this is what I want to suggest to you. Are you missing it? Has your heart become hard through some circumstances? Can I ask you a question? Why are you angry? Is it because a door was left open? Because he was abused as a little girl or a little boy? And your anger is really rooted all the way back to something that was done to you when you were 8 and you never got healed, delivered, or set free from? Why is your countenance fallen? Is it because you're living a life of disappointment because you thought by now you would be out of this by now? And you're coming into a new year and you're despondent and you're worried because even though you want to be hopeful, there's a part of you in the back of your mind saying, I haven't let go of that. And God told you to leave it alone. And the door is still open. This is what I want to suggest to you. When God is giving you an opportunity to give it and give it right. I'm no longer talking about your offering. I'm talking about your sin. I'm talking about your unrepentant heart. I'm talking about that willful disobedience that God keeps saying, no, I want that. But God, I want to talk to you about this and I want to. And God says, that's fine, we can talk about that, but let's deal with this.
Hey, we hope you enjoyed the podcast this week. And if you did, we invite you to take a moment to subscribe and follow our page. That way the word can be ready and waiting for you each and every week. Thanks again for joining us online, and we'll see you next time.